Okay, a reading guru, librarian Nancy Pearl, is back with us this morning, and she has another stack of what she describes as under-the-radar books. And Nancy, I should mention it's not really a stack here. It's more of a pile. I've just thrown them all over the place. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. More of a slump. A slump of books in front of you.
A slump of books. Let me take the one that's largest in square footage here. It's called Previously, and it looks like the kind of book that I get to read to my 3.5-year-old.
And it's an absolutely perfect book for that because it's Alan Alberg's book called Previously. Mm-hmm. And in this book, we learn what happened before the obvious event of each nursery rhyme or fairy tale.
So you mean
this
like
is
the three bears and things
so
like that.
So what happened before Goldilocks got to the three bears' mm-hmm. house, how she ran into Jack and Jill, and what happened before they fell down the hill, and what happened with the frog prince. And the wonderful thing about this picture book is, as in the best picture books, I think the text and the pictures really have to be of the same spirit, and here they are. And there's just a wonderful picture of the frog, remember, before he becomes the prince, and he has to be kissed by a princess. And it's
he looks a little grumpy, this frog.
Well, I thought he looked bemused, sort of like, what am I doing in this frog costume when I am really a person?
Okay, children's book there. Let's go in a different direction. Let's pick the book that appears to have a bite out of it.
It makes a lot of sense when you know that the hero of Firmin by Sam Savage.
F-I-R-M-I-N.
Yes, the eponymous hero of that book is really a rat. But Steve, I mean, it's really a rat.
Uh-huh.
One of those with 4 feet and mm-hmm. a tail.
Mm.
And Firmin grows up in the basement of a bookstore in Boston, and he ingests, along with very little of his mother's milk, a lot of books. He reads and digests literature. Literally.
So what happens to
Firmin? Well, Firmin really wants a destiny, that he can be something and be meaningful. And this is what he says. Could it be that I, despite my unlikely appearance, have a destiny? And by that I meant the sort of thing people have in stories, where the events of a life, no matter how they churn and swirl, are swirled and churned in the end into a kind of pattern. Lives and stories have direction and meaning. Even stupid and meaningless lives, like Lenny's and Of Mice and Men, acquire through their place in a story at least the dignity and meaning of being stupid, meaningless lives, the consolation of being exemplars of something. In real life, you do not even get that. I think anyone who loves to read would really like to get to know Firmin.
The next book on our stack here is The Broken Shore, a novel by Peter Temple.
This is the shore of Australia. And the way I would best describe The Broken Shore is that it's a great mystery with a social conscience. And when I read this, actually, Steve, I thought if you would read a mystery, this might be one that you would very much enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
The main character is...
I got a weakness for mysteries, I have to tell you. But let's go
oh,
on.
You do?
Of course
okay.
I do. Raymond Chandler. I grew up reading
Raymond Chandler
stuff.
This has a little bit of that noirishness of Raymond Chandler. But the main character is a policeman named Joe Cashin, who lives in a suburb outside Melbourne. And he's on a leave of absence because of a terrible accident that's occurred in the course of duty. But a very wealthy man in his district is attacked and left for dead. And the two suspects appear to be two Aboriginal young men. So Joe Cashin takes on the case.
And if you think about Australia's really grim history of coming to terms with the Aborigines and what Australia did to them, this must
yes.
be where the social conscience part
Absolutely.
Comes in.
Absolutely. The interesting thing is that when I was in Brisbane a few years ago, I kept asking people, well, what Australian mystery writers should I read? Who's really great? And the consensus was, the grand consensus was Peter Temple.
Okay, a couple more books here. The Lost Spy, An American in Stalin's Secret Service by Andrew Meyer.
This is nonfiction, and it's a fascinating story of a man named Cy Ogins who really fell in love with Soviet communism at a young age and was betrayed by those ideals.
We should mention the guy compiling this information, writing this book, Andrew Meyer, is somebody who's a well-respected journalist on Russia. He's been on our air before. And just very briefly, who was Cy Ogins?
Yes, Cy Ogins was a spy for the Comintern and was evidently killed directly on Stalin's orders. after spending 7 or 8 years in Siberia.
Was he an American who then fled to the Soviet Union?
Yes, he was an American who, he and his wife, Nirma, had such strong ideals about what communism could do for the world. They were sent as members of the Comintern, sent to China, did spying in China, some in Europe. Then Nirma came back to the United States and Tsai was taken to the prison camps in Siberia.
We're getting to the end of the slump here, the book slump, the pile, the slag heap of books that we have here. The Ghost in Love by Jonathan Carroll.
Jonathan Carroll has written many books before this, but this is actually the first one that I picked up and read. And the beginning of chapter 9, I'm going to read the first couple sentences of chapter 9, and then depending on how you respond, that will give you a signal as to whether you should read the book or not.
Okay.
A man, a dog, and two understandably disgruntled women were walking down a sidewalk. One woman was a ghost. The man should have been dead. The dog was the reincarnation of the should-have-been-dead's girlfriend. And the last, the tall woman, was an innocent bystander who had the bad fortune of loving two of the others. If that's a sentence that you can embrace with joy, I think you ought to read the book.
Very nice. So
in this book, the main character, a guy named Ben Gould, falls and hits his head, and by all reasonable things that happen, should have died. But he doesn't die, and the ghost who has been sent to take him back wherever is flummoxed, doesn't know what to do. I would call this really a loopy, heartwarming novel with a philosophical bent.
How do you think a lot of these books drop below the radar? Are there just too many of them out there?
I think there are probably too many of them out there. I think that all of these books need somebody to love them and to put them in people's hands.
Nancy, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for
at least putting them into my hands.
Right.
We'll see if they get into somebody else's as well.
Thank you, Steve.
Nancy Pearl is author of Book Lust, More Book Lust, and Book Crush. You can find a list of the best books of 2008 at our website, npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Happy New Year. I'm Steve Inskeep.